Well, hello and welcome. Welcome back to Knowing God. It has been a very, very long while since we were here, but here we are nonetheless. If this is your first time, then you are extraordinarily welcome, and we encourage you to go back through the back catalogue and have a listen. The purpose of this podcast is to have a conversation with someone who says that they know God and to explore what that's like. So it's really to encourage those who know Father God and invite those who don't. And I am very pleased to say that we have with us today a Mr. Ollie Maddox. Now, many of you may not know who Ollie Maddox is. So, Ollie, who are you?
Thanks for having me on, Chris. So, who am I? That's a good question. I am a man. I am who I consider to be a child of God these days. Would be my preferred title, but I am a man who attends Numa on a regular basis. I've been friends with the Kimmetses for quite many years now, and I've just sort of come into knowing Jesus in the last sort of 6 to 9 months, so that's my purpose of being here today.
Great. Can I ask you, just come in a little bit closer and we can hear you just that little bit louder. That would be great. Or you can pull the mic towards you, either way.
No,
so for the purposes of full disclosure, we really should say how we know Ollie. And originally, Nick and I got to know Ollie because we went to buy a car from him. Ollie works in a Hyundai garage locally. And we bought a car off him, and then we went back and bought another car off him, and then we went back and bought one for my mother-in-law, and then we went back and bought another car. Then we had a bit of a period where we went to a different manufacturer, which we don't talk about. They're the dark years. And then we came back again. And it was really in that time then, Ollie, then when we came back in beginning of 2023 at some point, we actually came in to talk about a car. But what was going on for you at that time?
So at that time, I was processing my journey from active addiction into recovery. And I was working through a 12-step program, trying to find my understanding of a higher power, which I was struggling with at the time. Because even though I was being open and listening to suggestions, I had no concept of what my higher power would be, whether that was through Christianity, Buddhism, whatever it may be. And while I was opening the channels, nothing really was happening. I wasn't humbling myself enough to release the ego that I'd held on to for many, many years, and my stigmas around religion, and not being able to put it in, you know, a tangible box, shall we say.
Yeah.
So in terms of I can't see it, touch it, feel it, so I don't believe it as such. And I had a physical ailment at the time as well. I'd nothing too exciting. I'd lunged to stop the dog grabbing something, and I'd jarred my back and was for waiting some CT scans on it because I couldn't actually put any weight on the right side of my body.
You were seriously hobbling.
Yeah, I was on crutches. and I don't think you had an appointment that day. I think you just came in.
No, you just came in.
And the ironic thing, I had been avoiding the pair of you for a little while because I had been coming, I'd been attending a meeting of an evening here at Numa on a Monday night, and I didn't want you to see me attending that meeting because I still held a bit of embarrassment and shame, I'd say a lot, of why I had to attend that meeting. But in you came and we got talking about cars and you asked me what was going on. And I just felt so at ease, and all of the sort of embarrassment and hesitancy lifted, and I just felt this overwhelming urge to unload on, you know, convey everything that had been going on with myself. And I felt like you two were the right people to do that. And you listened. I must have spoken for about 20 minutes and just in the middle of the showroom. Because obviously everyone that worked there knew what was going on with me anyway. So I had no qualms with them hearing. And you were so supportive and so loving and kind towards me. And I didn't realise how many people that you'd worked with or helped that had been sort of down the same road as I have, and that also attend NUMA on a regular basis, and, you know, found our Lord Jesus Christ through their recovery process. And anyway, it finished with you guys saying, right, we're gonna pray for you if that's okay. And my heart of hearts, I just assumed you're gonna go home, maybe kneel at your bedside in the evening and have a little prayer for me, maybe a couple of minutes, just saying, I hope he's okay. That was not the case. That was not the case. You know, there was a real fine moment where you both put your hands on my shoulders and just prayed so fluently, and it was the first time I'd actually ever heard in person someone pray like that, and I felt this indescribable presence. I felt tingles all through my arms, my back, my legs, and I could feel something. It was the first time in my journey that I could feel something was working. It was something that I couldn't put in a box, something that I couldn't describe. You know, I can't describe it today. Yeah. But at that point, you know, we parted ways, and, you know, we discussed cars a bit more. But the biggest thing for me is I hobbled pretty much the rest of the day on the crutches, still couldn't use stairs very well. And I went to bed that night and I got up and the pain was gone. And I don't mean like it was still niggling or it was like, oh, is that odd? It was one of those moments. It was like, I don't know if you've seen The Chosen, where
I have.
Jesus heals people who have been hobbling along, and they skip and they jump, and it was one of those moments, and it was like the blinkers had come off at that moment. It was like something was revealed to me that this is the answer. This is everything I've been waiting for, in a way. It was we asked and it happened.
So you had that moment. We've never talked about this bit before. So you must have had that moment when you got out of bed in the morning, expecting it to hurt, and you must have had a realization. You must have had a few moments where you realized it wasn't hurting anymore.
It took me a few minutes to for it to click what the reason for it was, if that makes sense. So I went to get the crutch to help me out of bed, and realized I didn't need it. And then I just walked around to the toilet thinking, oh, okay, that's interesting. And then while I was going to the toilet, it all started going through my head of, oh my goodness, what? This isn't right. I haven't had any painkillers in 12 hours. You know, I'm not in pain. I'm putting weight on my right side of my foot. I'm still to this day waiting for those scans. They haven't happened yet. Obviously, I haven't chased them because I haven't needed to. And it was just this moment of, wow, okay, something's happened here and I can't explain it. And the only thing I could go back to was that moment in the showroom. And then I actually came to my first service, I think, that weekend.
Yeah.
And you mentioned about the store cupboard, about prayers being like a store cupboard. Like at school, you know, you need a pen. You go into the store cupboard, you get a pen, and you come back out.
Yep.
And you mentioned prayer is like the same thing. And you say you pray for healing. You go get some healing and you pass it on to those that need it. And it was just, it was these moments firing off in my mind, like, wow, okay.
Yeah, you needed a new back part. And we just prayed for a new back part and you've got a new back part. I mean, who knows, in those miracles of healing, sometimes healing can take a period of time, and that's no less a miracle, let's face it, that healing over a period of time. I've currently got some blisters that are healing up nicely.
But
it's built into the processes of our bodies. Mm. But nevertheless, you get these points sometimes where there is a sudden change, and like there is no rational explanation why that should have happened. But what I find wonderful is to consider, at what point did what exactly happen in your back that meant in the morning? Was it as you put your foot out? Was God rubbing his hands in the night going, oh, I can't wait for him to get up in the morning? Did God speak and the cells in your back suddenly started to move around and strengthen the ligaments or whatever were there that needed sorting? Like, to make, like, the concept that at some point there was seemingly a divine encounter moment and God chose to do it while you're asleep.
Yeah.
Like, come on, that's so exciting. Anyway, so let's jump back into the story. So you came, I remember you coming to Newmark, because I remember as you got to the front door, I said, oh my goodness, you're walking completely normally. Yeah. And we had that whole conversation.
Yes.
And how was that first service? What was going on for you in the service, before the service? Why did you come? All that kind of thing.
I was nervous on my way here. I was coming on my own. I was only supposed to come for half of it because I did have to go to work.
I remember sending you a dress code.
Yeah.
I just remembered.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. I did say, because I hadn't been to church since I was a child. So I did ask, I was like, what do you wear?
That's right. I remember that. Yeah, I remember that.
So I did actually come in my Sunday finest, but that's only because I was going to the office. So I had no expectations, but I was hesitant. I wasn't sure what to expect. I knew it wasn't going to be quite like a normal, you know, I don't know if you call them Anglican churches. Some of my knowledge of that isn't quite there yet.
A traditional church where you sing hymns and whatnot. Yeah.
But I was really surprised. I must admit, I didn't get into worship music straight away. When I sat there and I hummed along. But you didn't get me singing for a good few weeks after that, because for me it's been a journey. Even though I've had a couple of these, as I refer to them as divine encounters, there's been other things that have needed to come along with that in a earthly world, from an earthly perspective, that sure. have led me into relationship with Father.
Yeah.
So. Like I said, the first talk I heard you do was so relatable, even from someone that hasn't grown up with God as part of their life. It just made sense. And like I said, I ended up staying for the whole period without even sort of realising it. I enjoyed it. And from then on, I think I've come every Sunday since, one or the other. Yeah,
I think the pretty odd one. And how has... What was starting to happen for you? Because obviously the aim is never to come along to a church. That's certainly not our aim. That's not God's aim. Mm. What was happening for you in that you've had this amazing encounter that happened in the night? The only thing you can relate it to is, well, those guys prayed yesterday, and now I've got no pain. This is weird. Okay, I'm going to go and explore this. Well, I might as well go to Numa. That's my connection point. So, and it's great. I love the fact that you had questions and came to a church. That's what it should be like. So often I think people come to church when they feel like they've got themselves sorted, yet Jesus spent most of his time with people who didn't have themselves in the least bit sorted. Yes. And all the people who were sorted, as he said, well, it's not the well who need the doctor, it's the sick, right? So I love the fact you came. But what was going on for you with Father God? What was that relationship starting to look like?
So just touching on what you said there, I was mentally sick still when I came in these doors. Physically, I'd been healed, which I'm, you know, still grateful for to this day. But sure. Mentally, I still had many ailments that thankfully have dissipated as my relationship has got deeper. Because I believe through the program I've been working, I'm going to use some terminology that I suffered with a spiritual malady. I had a hole, a God-sized hole in me that I tried to fill with whatever that may be. So whether it be relationships, whether it be physical intimacy, drugs, drink,
yep.
anything to make me change the way I felt, I did. And unfortunately, those come with consequences, but filling your God-shaped hole with God has no consequences. And it's the first time I've ever been content in myself. And just for that moment of silence there, it's just the being able to sit on your own in peace and quiet and know that he's there. I've gone right off the question.
Oh, here we go. So tell me about that. Yeah, tell us about that contentment. What does that... I mean, like, did you walk in through the Pneuma doors and feel that straight away? Or was this something that has grown? Or was there a particular point at which you did anything, said anything? What's that contentment? Tell us about that.
So, no, it wasn't for me like a burning bush moment. It wasn't a, other than the healing, it didn't suddenly, my faith didn't spring up at that moment. I required further investigation, as I do and have done with all things throughout my years. So as I was coming into the church and spending more time with like-minded people, I was understanding faith a little bit more and feeling my relationship grow. And as I've explained to others before, because I haven't come in from a Bible scripture reading understanding background, I now am working my way into scripture with, as I've already referenced, the blinkers removed. I have no preconceptions of what God should be. I'm reading some things and I'm just accepting them and wanting to know more. So in terms of moving through my journey, we started coming here then as a family. And then I met Herb, and he mentioned that he was had started this group 4 to 7, and invited me along. And again, I was hesitant because I didn't want to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to start off with. So that took, I think it took another 10 days to 2 weeks before I went, okay, let's go, I'll go. And that has really helped me understand the things that I am hearing, the things that I'm seeing, the changes that I'm experiencing in my life, even from the way I react to things, to the way I understand things, the way I ask for guidance for things. Just profound changes in every aspect of day-to-day life is what I've experienced. And I'd love to say that the moment I was baptized, I was reborn, and I did. For a good week, I felt a new man. I did, I really did. But I still wasn't quite accepting wholly in my heart, if that makes sense. That's incorrect. So my heart had made the decision. My brain had other thoughts. Does that make sense?
Totally. Yeah.
So totally. My heart had been opened to Christ and Father, but my brain still had this niggling thoughts of, yeah, but it wasn't that bad. Yeah, but do you really need to spend your Sundays doing that? Do you really need to get up every day and do your meditation and your prayers and have that connection? Do you have to hand your will over to God every day to have a good day? Our wheel was pretty fun. Yeah, we had a good time on Ollie's wheel. And for me now, however you look at it, I see that as the enemy in my head.
For sure.
And he pops up all the time still. But now I have the power to go, no. No, thank you. Turn upwards and go, what shall I do? What shall I do here? And unfortunately, I relapsed past the point of my baptism. But I see now in hindsight, as coming up to nearly 6 months clean and sober, that God put that in my path because he wanted to show me that he is the only way. Because I had a heart filled with Jesus. I had the knowledge of recovery, but my brain and the enemy still said to me, come on. It's not that bad. Let's go. And I just need, it was almost that one last moment to go, I have no other choice than to fully accept this walk of life, because without it, I've got nothing.
Wow. Wow. That's enormous. Let me ask you a bit about, let me ask you this question. I would assume that if I said, do you know Father God what would you say to that? Like,
yes,
yeah,
I do.
Yeah, okay. I figured you probably would. Phew, thank goodness. You can stay on the podcast. That's
pause
great
now.
News. What is it like? What's he like? Let's start there.
Mm.
We'll stick to that. What's he like? And then in a minute, I'm going to ask you what difference it has made to your life. But for a minute, what is he like?
Again, hard to put into a description box. When I ask, I receive. When I pray, I see a difference. When I turn over my will, my day, it couldn't be better. When I run a day on Father's will, everything works out for the best. When I accept him, I see him in all things. I see him when I'm walking the dog. I see him when I'm driving to work. I see him when I'm at church. You know, whatever it may be, it's a complete shift of everything. But I'm going to refer, it's like seeing everything in black and white and then suddenly seeing a spectrum of colour. So it's where I went from being not just agnostic, but a diehard atheist, like, no, that's not real. You're all silly people. This is the politest way I can put of what I used to think on this podcast. It was like I was seeing the world in grayscale, and then suddenly just these vibrant colours are just flowing everywhere. Wind, sun, water, whatever it may be, it's taken on a whole new level. What's he like? I've digressed. Comforting. That's the biggest thing. Comfort. A firm foundation for everything. He grows me as a person, my family. Oh, it's so hard to describe what he's like.
And what difference then, you're married to Lara and you have two wonderful children. What difference have they or have they not seen in you? What impact has this had for you as a husband and as a dad?
Presence is the biggest thing, as in being present. Not as in giving presents. Everything that I have now, I had before. But it's never meant more to me now in the 8 years that we've been together and had our children. And that is due to knowing God as Father, because I have a newfound appreciation for all things. Life, the innocence of youth, and I want to make time for them now. Before, I was selfish and I was running on my own self-will.
Sure.
And they have definitely seen an active change in the way I approach life, my thought processes. I don't get it right every day by any stretch of the imagination. We're all human. We lose our temper.
Yeah.
We have the day-to-day frustrations. But when I removed my obsessions with substance, I was still left with me. And I had my own issues to deal with.
Yeah.
And I have dealt with those through a relationship with Father. And he has done for me what countless trips to therapists, doctors, medication have never been able to do. And I can wake up in the morning and be the same man when I leave the house as the same man that comes home in the evenings. And the difference in the middle is my constant connection with him. And because of that, my children and partner get the best of me, not the worst.
Yeah. So what does Lara make of your, this change that's happened in you over this last 6 months? What does she make of it all?
I think she was, skeptical.
Okay.
At the start, in particular. because I have quite an obsessive personality. So it's like, I'm obsessed with this thing, and now I'm obsessed with Jesus. And I think she thought it was going to be a quick phase, but then I started introducing her into the church and bringing the children along to Numa Kids, and it's become a part of our daily lives. And she has since, I'm not sure about saying yes to Jesus, but there has been a certain faith change that I'm seeing in my house as well.
Sure.
And I've had some prophetic words spoken over to me before. And I'm not going to go into too much detail.
No.
But please
don't.
These words were, you are going to be the one who brings faith and God back into your family. And I assumed that that meant future generations to come.
Okay.
That's not just been the case. I'm obviously seeing the change in the children, but I'm also seeing change is up the chain as well in terms of parents. Step-parents and things like that, which has been really interesting. I keep digressing from the questions. I do apologise.
It really doesn't matter. No, I mean, you are...
I don't think you've got a straight answer out of me yet.
I said, do you know Father God? You said, yes, I do.
Yeah, there we go. That's the straightest answer.
We're grateful for that. We haven't really particularly mentioned the Holy Spirit in all this. We often would describe God as being the Father, the Son, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. Some people ask me for a description sometimes, or how can you define the difference? And I still use something that I learned like almost at Sunday school, as it were, years ago, which is like steam, ice, and water. They're all H2O, but they present themselves differently. So, well, is ice the same as water? Yes. Well, no. Well, yes, well, no, like that.
Yeah.
So we've obviously mentioned quite a bit about Father God, but Holy Father God is seated in heaven and Jesus is seated at his right hand. But the Holy Spirit, what's been your encounter with the Holy Spirit? What has it been like? What have you felt like, et cetera, et cetera?
Mm. Good question. So for me, I find it hard at this stage of my journey to differentiate, know what word I'm trying to say.
I know the one, yeah. Tell the difference.
Between the three. But like you said there, that was a really good example for me of saying ice, water, steam, because it is one of the same product. I could say that I encounter the Spirit on a daily basis in my prayers, but is that the Spirit or is that the Son or is that the Father? That's for me, it's difficult to say. So for example, I walk our dog through these woods every single day, twice a day most days, unless I'm taking a different route. And regardless of whether I'm with the dog or not, actually, that has nothing to do with it. If I'm praying outside, if I speak aloud to Father, whether I call upon Jesus or the Spirit, if there's no wind, then the next moment there is wind.
Wow.
And I don't share this with a lot of people.
Yeah. You just have. But
yes,
yeah.
Yeah.
Carry on.
And if the wind's going one way, the wind then changes direction.
Wow.
And this happens every single time.
He's so kind.
That I pray outside. It might happen when I pray inside, but I can't tell. And the reason I don't share it is because it's special to me. And someone might say, well, that's just the elements. That's just it. But it's every single time without fail. Whether it's a gust, whether it's a full blown through the trees, the leaves literally change from going from left to right when I do it. And so I pray daily when I'm walking through the woods. And I'm even feeling it now, just that it's welling up inside of you, the Spirit, if that makes sense. It's actually bringing a tear to my eyes because it makes me emotional, but in a good way. Like, yeah. It fills me with so much happiness and faith and joy of life. You know, it's a gift.
Yeah.
And Lord, do I want more people to feel like this?
That's a lovely link. That's because one of the things I wanted to ask you about was, we've heard a little bit about the impact this has had on your family, both upwards and downwards through the generations and right now. But what impact is this having on other people? Are you telling people about this? Are people asking you, like, Ollie, you just seem different these days? Or like, what do people know in your workplace, for example? What about your friends? All that kind of thing.
Yes, I'm not shy about what's changed in me. A bit of evangelism there, just trying to get his name out there, really. It's just, if people ask, I tell.
Yeah.
And the difference between me being one way and the way that I was is him. And it's as simple as that. And for me, faith without work doesn't work. Relationship is a two-way thing. I can't ask everything from Father and give nothing in return. It doesn't work like that, whether it's, you know, a relationship between friends,
yep,
or a heavenly relationship.
Yep.
So for me, I have to take his word and speak to people. And I pray for people and they don't know about it. I don't sometimes tell them, not quite like you did for me. I don't walk up to people and just put my hands upon them.
We did ask you first.
You did ask me first, yes. No, that's good. Just to clarify that. And I'm seeing a difference in other people who are around me. Not just in the way that I am towards them, but the way they are towards me. Things don't taste the same anymore. Things that I used to enjoy that were less than savoury, let's say, you know, be it language, be it thought process, be it theology, but in a non-biblical sense, you know, whatever it may be. The things that I am putting out are being returned to me from those around me. Does that make sense?
Totally.
So I'm not shy at work. You know, sometimes they take the mickey and say, oh, well, you know, why don't you pray for it then? I said, I will, don't worry. We had the other day, I got the real mickey taken out of me the other day because we were on the forecourt. It was the end of the month and everything had gone really well and I just handed it over. Certain people were stressing. I wasn't. And I was just like, what will be, just let it go. And everything will either happen or it won't. And a shadow was cast on the hedge at the back of the forecourt, and it was a perfect cross. And like, even just, we're not videoing this, so you can't see what I'm doing with my hands. And yes, it was a shadow cast, but the shadow cast was so perfect. I gathered everyone up and went, Jesus is present. And they were just,
wow.
They were just like, some people were like, okay, Ollie. Some people were like, right, fine. And others were like, yep, yeah, okay, cool. But I just looked at it. I was like, this is a sign. It's not just a shadow. And there are people in my life who think that I've gone a bit off the rails, shall we say. But that's not their journey. So I accept
people
that.
People said that of Jesus.
Yeah, I accept that. So yeah, to answer the question, if someone asks, I tell. And sometimes when people don't ask, I still tell.
So we're going to look to wrap up in a minute, but what I'm really interested in is, there's, by all accounts, there seems to have been such a impactful relationship in your life by the encounter that you have had with God that is an ongoing relationship, because all relationships are fueled by ongoing encounter. So it's like a planet has been smashed into by an asteroid and now the orbit has changed. Mm. It's like it is that stark for you. Your orbit has changed. So what I'm interested to know is, what lies ahead for you? What would you love to see? What are changing about your dreams and Yeah, what do you want? What do you think? Where are you going?
That's really interesting because it's been a subject that I've been pondering for a little while now. People have said to me, well, why don't you just go and start a church? And I've laughed and gone, if that's what he wants me to do. I haven't had a calling. As much as my relationship is strong and I hear from Father in many different ways, including spoken word, several people have said to me, well, if it sounds like your voice, then it's probably you speaking. And I've said, it doesn't sound like my voice. So I'm convinced. But I haven't had any plans for the future come through, any visions, anything prophetic spoken over me that makes me think, oh, that could be a course of action. So at the moment, I'm staying in my lane.
Okay, two things. Firstly, I don't know who said to you that if it sounds like your voice, it's probably your voice. I couldn't disagree more strongly with that. An odd thing, which is okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes you hear God speak, or I will hear God speak. I'll keep it personal to me for a minute. I know it's probably just my thoughts. But after a period of time, you can learn to differentiate. Nice. God hasn't got, he doesn't sound like, you know, Sean Connery or like, except to the late Sean Connery. But so anyway, that's that slight aside. So here's the thing then. Sometimes it says in Psalm 37 verse 4, 34 verse 7, one or the other, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. So what we've done with people before is say to them, okay, blank piece of paper. You delight yourself in the Lord, which you do. He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I think that probably means two things. Number one, it means he puts the desires in there, delight in him. He'll give you the desires of your heart, but also he'll cause those desires to come into fruition. So what we sometimes do with people is something we call the blank paper exercise. And you listeners listening to this, you can join in on this. You get literally a blank piece of paper and you imagine that God is saying to you, you write your future. If I said to you, Ollie, I will support you. You can do absolutely what you want. And you can choose what your future looks like. You just start to write. Now, what most people do is they have hidden constraints. Well, I can't do that. Well, obviously not that. And, you know, this kind of thing. And I remember speaking to a lady a number of years ago. She was a teacher. And I said about doing this exercise. And she said, well, I could possibly be the head of department. And I said, yeah, you could. I don't think that's it. But yeah. And then in the end, I said, look, just take the brakes off anything. And she said, well, do you know what? I said, no, I don't. But in my mind, I'm thinking, we're getting close. She said, years ago, I went to this orphanage in some other country and I would absolutely love to go and be a part of that and lead something like that. And I thought, now we're talking.
Yeah.
Put that down on a piece of paper. Do you know how I know? Because I can see the response in you. So I pray, Ollie, that for you, you get the chance to do this exercise and just let Father start to speak to you about what he has for you mapped out in front of you. Because he's got great things for you, for sure. It has been great to have you with us. And I wonder, actually, we sometimes do this, if we could ask you to pray for our listeners. There might be some people who are listening today who are saying, well, he seems to have had a big change. I want what he's got. That thing he's talking about, I'm not really sure where I stand on it, but he's changed. I want that. So maybe you could just pray for us and for anyone who would love to join in with that prayer. Is that all right?
Yeah, of course.
Great. Yeah. Thanks.
Father God, I will that you would open the hearts of all listening and all around us to see your goodness in all things, that they may know you in relationship, not in text, not in just thoughts and fleeting moments, that they may know you in their hearts, they may follow you, and they may know what it is to be filled with spirit, to be overflowing with joy and the love of your Son and your Spirit, Father. I pray this upon all people and thank you for showing me the way and giving me this opportunity to share my experience with those. Amen.
Yes, amen. Amen and amen. A big thank you to you, Ollie, for joining us today. If you are listening and have questions or want to find out more, of course, you can go to our website, pneumachurch.uk. You can pop along on a Sunday. You can come along during the week. If there's anything we can do to support you, help you, love you, we would love to do that. If you have specific questions, you're welcome to email me directly, chris@pneumachurch.uk, and I would be only too happy to help. But that's it for now. We will see you again soon.